And exhale slowly. And allow your body to move if you'd like as I begin to offer this talk. If you need to make any adjustments in your body, but keep present as you're moving. Notice your body moving. This talk is on avoidance versus letting go, the idea of aversion. Aversion is to turn away from, to turn your back to. And there's a false sense of letting go when we've been hurt, and there's a true embodiment of letting go. And your own body knows the difference. We can tell ourselves mentally, I've let that go, and still have the tension that closes the heart, tightens our stomach and our chest, protects us from the pain. But true letting go is full of ease. And you can't force this to happen. You can tell your mind, I want to let this go, or I've let it go, I'm fine. And yet, it's as if you're still turned your back toward what hurts. Aversion is to turn away from. And if you were in this practice, imagining a person who has hurt you and you're avoiding, it's like turning your back, but yet you feel the presence of that person behind you. And anywhere you travel, that presence of pain and hurt kind of follows you. What we want to do is turn toward, lean into, and face that which causes us pain. So before we actually experience a letting go, there's a letting be. And the practice I'd like you to take home until we meet again is actually letting be. So I want you to be aware when you're avoiding, when you're turning your back to something, because your body will tell you you're turning your back from the source of pain, because you can notice a tension. You notice there's not a resolve happening. So be aware of your body telling you you're avoiding. Sometimes it's very obvious. I'm not calling that person back. Sometimes it's very subtle. I'm fine with them. I don't care anymore. But yet that grief and pain is still in the heart. So turn toward that. Sit with it and hold that. And just let that person be. Let them have hurt you. And I'm not saying stay in an abusive relationship. Okay? I am saying, though, when the thought of somebody comes to your mind who has hurt you, the idea is to let them be just who they are. We have no control, and we have very little impact or influence. We have some, of course, with our words and our actions. But a true letting be, just let that person be for a moment, is tense for us. But then what happens is we actually start surrendering to life as it is and accepting things as they are. I find this to be ironic because I struggle personally when I've been hurt to really let somebody be. I want to teach them something. I want them to know what they've done. I want them to feel it. That's a Jewish thing, you know. I want them to feel that thing that I feel. And I spend a lot of time and effort figuring out ways to have them feel or learn something. I hear laughing. You might do the same thing, or you just know that I do this. When there was a moment someone I loved dearly turned her back on me, literally, and said, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. And it was extremely painful. It triggers all kinds of responses like rejection and not, you know, guilt or shame. And as I sat with that every day, from March until December, pain every day, which came and went. It lessened and then it erupted. But I sat and held it and nurtured it like a mother would a child who's been wounded. I nurtured that pain and I didn't react to it. There was a day I decided in the middle of that just to let her be. Let her have her response to me. Don't argue with it. Don't try to force her to be different. Just let her be. And I practiced with that letting be for quite a few months. And then there was a time I was driving and I said, I don't want to carry this anymore. And I let her go. Because I've let her be, I can have compassion for her. Whatever caused her to have that experience of me and with me, I let her be. I let her have it. And there was a moment in the car, I remember, in December where I let her go. And it was so freeing because I wasn't prompted or moved or connected to that old pain. It had gone through me. And I let her be, and I no longer harbored anything. And then she called, wanting to apologize and see if she can come back to my life. That has happened numerous times in my practice. It is fucking fascinating. Think about it. When you finally let go, the thing you're longing for really is right there. It doesn't always happen that way, and I didn't do it. I wasn't like, hey God, I totally let go, you know, like, huh? Like, you know, there was a rabbi in New York City who was like, he had a very important meeting and presentation to give, and it's not good parking. He was driving around getting really frustrated, very nervous he wasn't going to make his presentation, and he pled with God, please, Lord, if you get me a parking space, I will change a lot of things in my life. It's negotiation, right? You're negotiating with the divine. I will change. And obviously what happened was a spot opened. He goes, never mind, there's a spot. It's not how it works. It is not how it works. You can't negotiate with this. The real, true letting be, leading to letting go, does its work because you don't need it then. I didn't need her to call that next day and say, I want this. It was lovely and wonderful, but I didn't need it anymore. I wasn't craving. I wasn't attached to the outcome. Notice when you're avoiding. Turn toward it. Nurture yourself. Care for yourself. Sit with it. And then really practice letting be. Letting them be. It's very difficult, again, because we want to change and we become righteous. Our indignation. And sometimes it's right because we've been hurt unjustly. Yet watch how much suffering you cause yourself by doing that. Let be. And then on its own, you will experience a true letting go. And that is deep freedom. Deep freedom. True freedom. Because you no longer are craving and clinging. So I do this constantly because I'm human and constantly find myself getting hurt. So I have plenty of opportunity to practice letting be and letting go. Does this make sense? You feel a sense of excitement at the possibility? Again, you can't negotiate. You're not doing this to get what you want. You're actually doing this for your own freedom and liberation from craving and clinging and attachment. And that is actually the benefit of our practice. The side benefit is you might get things back that you really want or long for, but that doesn't matter as much anymore. It might not matter at all. It's a lovely side of benefit, but the true benefit is freedom from clinging and craving. Where might you apply this in your life? Where might this be useful for you? You don't have to give us the whole story. You know, don't actually. Sake of time, but how might this apply to you? And where do you see yourself struggling with avoidance, letting be, and letting go? And this is open for you guys now to start thinking about and sharing if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
who's got a mom or dad you just need to let be? Sister. Bring it out. They're not here. Go ahead. Don't say their name. So what about family for you? Are you needing to let be or let go?
Let be my stepmom. How she is. How she reacts.
Mm-hmm.
And how she acts.
What would it feel? What would it feel like the next time you're with her, you just let her be the character she is?
Feel good. A little different.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel more free and not as tense as I would normally feel, like you're saying. Because I tense up a lot.
Of course. Yeah, because you want something different.
Mm-hmm.
My therapist just told me, and this is my practice until I see him next time, accept the things I find unacceptable. I was like, ouch, no way, man. I got to change things that are unacceptable. But the Dharma teaches you actually acceptance is liberation. True acceptance and surrender is liberation. So if you let her be, just the thought of it right in this very moment allows you to be at ease.
Mm-hmm.
Would you try that on when you see her next time?
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. See, the Dharma is instantaneous. The practice generates over time, gets easier, habituated. But the truth of the Dharma is right now. Just all those people in your mind that you know have hurt you, you're avoiding, or you want to change, if you let them be, instantaneously your body's like, think, okay, I don't have to carry that right now. It's immediate. Now, practicing that takes time and effort, dedication, diligence. But wouldn't you rather practice that than be tense every time you're with her?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Other examples? Her stepmom? Rebecca.
I thought of sending an email to my siblings, my two brothers and my sister, about how my mom's doing just today. And then I thought, fucking Anthony, I'm not going to stop. He's my big brother, who was really mean to me when we discussed my mom.
Mm.
So I'm just kind of laughing at myself for that, turning my back.
Mm, the avoidance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the avoidance. That
right. Yeah, good. And I do want to make this note. This does not mean we don't interact skillfully with people. This doesn't mean we let everything go all the time. We have to discern when it's important to step forward into something and go, I need to give this feedback. That's different work than what I'm talking about. And that's very much important. That's a whole other talk. How do you give skillful feedback to people who hurt you? It's very important to learn how to do that skillfully. The Buddha taught succinctly 5 ways in which we admonish or give feedback to people. So that's a little bit of a different talk when you're ready to do that. Right now, we're just becoming aware, though, of are we avoiding? Can we practice letting be? And eventually, what is it like when you truly let go? Not forced, but really when it happens, right? So, yeah, how many of us avoid, I mean, really, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel good. It's protective. It does protect us. How many of you have avoided something for years? I think there's a 9-year-old still in the room. Did he raise his hand? He's like, Mom, I got stuff from like when I was 2. Is he still here? I don't know. They left?
Yeah.
He was kind of squirmy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to be like, oh, how do I interrupt that? But I can't. We just need to let it be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's 9. What do you want to do? Yeah, we're avoiding. And sometimes you're not going to go confront the person who's hurt you the worst. That's not the smartest or skillful thing to do. Don't go back in a cage with a tiger. Discern where there's a tiger and there's a cage, and don't walk in that cage. Learn how to discern that. Some things you're not avoiding, you're letting that go. I'm letting that tiger go. I'm not walking back into that cage. And when you really determine that's let go, there's a freedom. I don't have to address the person who's hurt me the most because I've let that go, and I don't have to do that kind of work. This is, you see the themes of discernment, clarity, learning how to be skillful. This is all interwoven. This is the work we do. Any other examples of avoidance, letting be or letting go? Yeah, Miranda, right? Yeah. It's fine, yeah.
My daughter's grandmother, we were very close for years, and then we had a huge blow-up 2 years ago. And I've gotten to the point where it was like, she would say horrible things, nasty things about me, and she would message me constantly, and then, so when you say, like, letting go, it's like, I got to that point where I was like, I can't engage you anymore, because it's not healthy, and I'm constantly like, you know,
well,
you did this, and you did this, and you did this. She's back and forth, and so I tried to let that go, but then anytime I think of her, it upsets me.
That's right.
So it's like, it's trying to find that balance of like, okay, I said, you know, I can't engage with you anymore. I have to let that go, but it comes back and I can't.
Yeah, there's that tension in you, because you haven't let the experience of her go, you've let the connection go, perhaps. And yet she's in there, in you, thinking, when you think of her. And we all have that person. We think, that's why I did this in the activity, in the experiment. We have the person who hurts us, and now they're virtually hurting us when we think of them. So that there's an active practice for you to do, loving kindness, for yourself first, and forgive the way you might have interacted, and ask for kindness and love for yourself. Nurture. When she comes in your mind, your body tenses, so you nurture like you would a child. And when you're starting to get to that place of deep, resounding love for yourself and your own well-being, it naturally radiates. And you wonder, what caused her to be like that? What's going on for her where she's contracted? And then all of a sudden, your loving kindness, which is here radiating, goes outward to people. You might not ever have to see or talk to her again, but you can start loving from a distance. May she be at ease. May she find healing. And all of a sudden, when she comes into your mind, instead of tension, you get this welling of sadness for her, because what a shitty way of being to be that tense that she's, you know, verbally abusive that way. That's how loving kindness starts radiating outward, and you don't have to do a thing with her. It's yourself you're loving, nurturing, and naturally radiates out. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that. I think a hand in the back. Absolutely. What a better way of being than the anger that could generate, ruin a whole day. So I know we're getting close to the end. This is unending. This conversation, we can keep going. I wish we could have tea and just keep going and going. Please practice these things. This isn't just for tonight. This is going home and starting to think about and reflect on what we're talking about here. I really do encourage you all to get this book, Food for the Heart, by one of our teacher's teacher, Ajahn Chah. We come from a Thai forest lineage here, and this is one of our main teachers in that lineage through Jack Kornfield and James Barres. James is my teacher. And we're going to kind of use these concepts throughout this year and talk about this book. It's a bit complex, but it's rich. And you can read a page at a time and just sit with it, take notes, email me questions if you want. And we'll discuss these as we meet throughout the year. You can come see this. And if you really love reading like I do, oh, there's this book you can get about his life and the Dharma in Thailand. It is beautiful. I mean, it's taken me forever to get like 300 pages or something, but as long as I'm alive, I can just keep reading it. So there's no rush. So come see these two books. We're going to next meet on the 14th, which is Valentine's Day. If you already have plans, enjoy yourselves. If you don't, please come spend it with us, and we'll have our kids program running and more meditation and Dharma. Thank you all. And if you have, we do rely on donations. There's a basket out there. It helps us pay for the space and our teachers and whatnot. Thank you, everybody, and see you next time. Yeah.